Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Hello, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are we excited to praise and worship God this morning? Hallelujah, man. I hope you came with a high expectation for God to move. Pastor Chris Estrada has an awesome word for us, and I am just so excited. But first, let us get our hearts prepared to receive that word. There's like no one up here. Can I have some friends come up here at the altar with us? I am so excited to just praise and worship God. You know, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what the Word says. If you need an extra dose of freedom, if you need some chains breaking off of your life, this is exactly where you want to be, ushering in the presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and pray. Father, we completely trust you. God, we love you. We honor you today. You deserve all the glory and all of the honor. Lord, we would be absolutely nothing without you, God. So I just thank you for guiding us throughout our lives. I thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And Lord, we just want to praise you in spirit and in truth this morning. So in the mighty name of Jesus, let me hear a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We got a new song for you this morning, but you're going to want to praise to it, I promise. Hallelujah. Step out of the shadows. Step out of the grave. Break into the wild and don't be afraid. And run into wide open spaces. Grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Communion, come back to the start and run into wide open spaces. Grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is, come on, jump, jump, jump. Where the Spirit.
Let there be freedom. Let there be freedom.
rise and shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Life's made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Come on, sing, chains will fall.
Chains will fall, prison shake at the sound of Jesus' name. And life's made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Jesus, you deserve it. No matter what you came in this place with this morning, just put it all down because he deserves the praise. He's so faithful. He's so good. So whatever it is that you came in with today, whatever concern, whatever need that you came in with, just put that thing down. He deserves our praise. He's so worthy of our praise. He's always been faithful. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. So right now, Lord, we lay it all down. We lay it all down on the altar. We lay every care, every concern, every need. We lay it down to just worship you and lift you up and magnify you above everything else. God, we make our minds. We tell our minds. You will magnify the Lord over everything else. Over everything else, Lord, we magnify you right now. You are greater. You are greater. Your power is surpassing. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible for you, God. And it's in your presence where it's transitioned, where it's shifted, where it's changed. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak transition. I speak a shifting in the name of Jesus. A shifting in that thing. It has to change and transform at the surpassing power of God. It will no longer look the same again. It is defeated. It is shifted. It is changed. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Father, I release now. After we've bound up those things, we loose now the spirit of joy. We loose the spirit of peace. We loose the spirit of victory and strength, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Peace, peace, peace. In the name of Jesus. We just thank you, God, that you are so awesome. You are not slack and you are not weak, God. You are awesome. You do abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even imagine. You make a way where there is no way, God. You bring streams into the desert places. We just thank you for your power that is in this place right now. Your anointing in this place right now. Breaking and shifting and binding and loosing, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that this is not just church as usual, that this is a transition and a shifting, an encounter, bringing our natural to the supernatural, an encounter with the supernatural right now in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our circumstances and situations. We invite the supernatural to take over. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Why don't you take a few moments right now and greet people. Find somebody that you don't know. Welcome them to the house of God. Bless them. Don't sit down. Get up. Walk around. Meet some people that you don't know.
everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We're so excited you could be here. I am so happy that I belong to a very friendly church, very loving church. Everybody's around saying hello. I hope you got the opportunity to meet at least one new person today. Or maybe someone you have not seen in a while, at least you got to say hello to them. We're not just a church, we are family. So again, we're so excited that you are here for our 11 a.m. service. If this is your first time here, you're a first time guest, can I see you just lift up your hand just like this? If this is your first time here at His Tabernacle, I'm looking for a first-time guest. I'm looking. Oh, we see one in the back. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for our first-time guest. Yes. Awesome. We're so excited you could join us today. We love guests in this house. So right now, we have a gift that is coming to you. If you just keep your hand lifted up. Sam, thank you so much for reaching out to her. We want to invite you to our guest reception after this church service on this side of our building. Your right and my left, we have some coffee there, get to meet some people on our staff, and we just want to say thank you so much for coming to worship with us. So put your hands together one more time for our first time guests. Awesome. So I have two quick announcements for you. If you're between the ages of 18 and 30, can I see you just lift up your hand just one more time? Between the ages of 18 and 30, awesome. Some of y'all are lying in church, but it's okay. I want to invite you guys personally out to our Awaken Monthly Service. That is our young adults group here. My wife and I, we get the privilege to co-lead that. And tonight we have our Awaken Night In theme. You get to wear your pajamas. We're going to have chicken and waffles. And it's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. We are going to have bacon starting to be cooking at 4 p.m. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. So you do not want to miss that. That'll be here at 6 p.m. when doors are going to be opened up for ages 18 to 30-ish. Amen? Oh, okay. Praise God. And our second on one that we have baptisms next Sunday. Who loves baptisms? I love them. Right in the middle of worship, we have a big old tank right here, but it's not just about you getting wet. It's about you making an outward declaration of what's happened inside. And you get to invite your friends, your family, your loved ones, and this entire church is cheering you on as you get baptized. So if you would like to get baptized, I want to encourage you to sign up online or check us out at the info desk, and we'll be just so excited to worship with you next week as you get baptized. Amen. At this time, we have some video announcements for you, so please turn your attention to the screen.
Seminar, November 8th and 9th in Mansfield, PA, featuring Pastor Rhonda Spencer, a gifted speaker, minister, and author. No More Hurt, free and open to everyone.
Hey family, we want to remind you about Next Steps classes. They're happening every single week. Whatever campus you're attending, make sure you go to histabernacle.com. Find out what classes are happening and join a class today so you can grow in your walk-in relationship with the Lord.
Are you new to the church? If so, we have something that will help you so much in knowing who you are, knowing why we exist, and knowing what we're here to accomplish together. Growth Track is every single Sunday morning. We'd love to invite you to join this so you can be a part of the family and you can have all of your questions answered. Every single Sunday morning, you can sign up at the Information Center or right online at histabernacle.com.
Life is not meant to be lived alone. That's why at His Tabernacle, we created groups just for you. The perfect place to live and grow in your church community. To find out how you can get involved, visit us online or out front at the Information Desk.
Amen. I love so much that His Tabernacle is generational. Don't you love seeing all these young people raising up in the house and serving in ministry? And not just young people, we have a great group of mature adults. And tomorrow is senior breakfast. If you're 50 or older, it's actually senior breakfast with the pastors, because I'm not old enough to qualify to attend, but I get to come because I'm a pastor. And I have, yeah, my husband definitely qualifies for several years now. Several. That's several. Does three constitute several? Am I right? Okay, thank you, all my financial people in the room. Several. Anyways, tomorrow morning, and now we're entering into the time of tithes and offerings, one of my favorite times in the service. It was Jesus' favorite topic when he walked on this earth. He talked about money more than any other topic when he walked on this earth. It's his favorite topic, and I love that we get to talk about finances. How many of you have loved the services, the messages on Next Level Finances? Amen. Getting debt free and being good stewards with our money. So I've enjoyed being able to share testimonies with you. I think testimonies, you can't argue with what God does in somebody's life. So last week we had an incredible testimony, and from that testimony, we have another testimony. So I'm going to share that with you. This is from Heather, and it was on Monday morning that she sent this. So if I've ever had any doubts about God, they have been put to rest already this morning. Yesterday I went to church. The sermon was about finances. Two church members, group leaders of the church, gave their testimony in the beginning of service about how God saved them from financial ruins. They gave their way out of poverty. Before they spoke this, I had no intent on tithing, since my bank account was 40 cents. I only had $7 to my name. I needed that to get juice and milk for my son for the week. But after hearing their testimony, I decided, whatever. So I threw the money into an envelope and used it for tithes and offerings. I prayed hard for my finances and really put my faith into Jesus that he was gonna pull through for me. And now I only had a few dollars left. This morning I woke up and my daily email with my bank account balance was sitting there. I looked at it and it was now $64. A refund they hadn't even expected came through. Relieved, I could go get gas. That was just the beginning of the blessing. Relieved that I could go get gas and juice and milk. I lost my place. I came to work. Once arriving at work, my boss came in and hunted me down and handed me an envelope with my name on it. I read it, and sure enough, I received a surprise second raise of the year. I have no doubt that this was an act of God proving to me that he is here and always is. I promise after this service yesterday and what has happened already this morning, I will forever tithe no matter what is in my wallet. Thank you, Jesus. His word in Malachi says, test me in this and see, and I will prove to you. And that's exactly what happened by Monday morning. How awesome is our God? So if you're ready to give in this house this morning, stand to your feet. We bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord here. And so if you'll repeat with me a supernatural declaration, this is simply the word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. It's the blessings of obedience. And when we declare this, I want you to speak over your money. I want you to speak and prophesy over your finances. So I want to hear you like you really mean what you're saying over your finances, and watch God prove himself over and over and over again. Amen. So repeat after me. It says, if I obey, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. Well, what an did you notice that the parking lot was a little full when you were coming in this morning? Listen, I don't want to hear nothing about your pastor preaching long. He preached longer than I did. It was awesome. The reason it went so long is because it's so good. You are getting ready. Who brought your, like, knives and forks and maybe doggy bags even? You got to get ready to eat. Amen. We are so blessed this morning as your pastor. You'll know that I don't bring in a lot of speakers throughout the year. We have enough amazing ministers and pastors in this church to preach the gospel. But I love when God sets up. How many of you remember last year was the year of divine connections? That there are connections that God makes because there's a need to propel you further. I want to remind you that there are five gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. They all have the same job, and that is what? Equip, bring to unity, and bring to maturity. And when you bring in a guest, you want them to leave a deposit. You see, the deposit that a guest leaves enables you to go to the next level. This is why sometimes you need a vitamin B shot. If you're a little grumpy, maybe you need a vitamin B shot. Amen. Some of you are a little struggling. Maybe you need a vitamin D shot. But today we're going to get a Holy Ghost shot. Amen? We're going to have God speak to our hearts and minister to us. And I want you to get ready to receive. I don't want you just to say, well, another preacher's coming up to preach a message. No, I want you to get ready. God's going to speak to you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got a word just for you. Tell somebody else, God's got a word just for you. Listen, you remember the verse. Where's that in Hebrews, Gene? Hebrews 4:2 says, two people will be sitting next to each other. One receives and one doesn't. The one that didn't receive, the only reason is they didn't receive it or mix it with faith. You got it right? Hebrews 4:2. So you see, two people can be in the same room. One walk away with a nugget and the other walk away with, what time is lunch? All because of faith. So I want you to raise your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release an infusion of supernatural faith within your church. That God, as your word is being preached by Brother Chris, that Father, there will be a reception in our spiritual man. I bind every devil that would try to stop the word of God in our lives. I thwart every spiritual attack of diversion and disillusion. And I declare in Jesus' name a supernatural receptivity that, Lord, our spirit man will jump in us. Father, even as John the Baptist jumped in Elizabeth's stomach, I pray that this morning there be a supernatural jump in our spirit as we receive your word for our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor Chris, he comes from California, originally from Texas. He and his beautiful bride, Erica, and he literally travels the world. 17, correct? 17 international trips this year. Dear Lord, I'm tired just saying it. But he travels the world. He literally sits and eats with presidents. And he sits and eats with kings. And he brings the gospel into literally full countries with the team that he's with. And I want you to welcome with me at His Tabernacle Family Church, Pastor Chris and Erica Estrada.
Wow. It is such a true honor. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. It is really a true honor to be here, hearing about, even being around through Uproar Conference and empowering pastors, and now getting to see all that's rooted right here in His Tabernacle. It's pretty significant. It's pretty special. And I think it's a sobering thought to know that this church is doing things that churches around the nation are not. I think you need to hear it, because many times you just see your world, and I have the privilege to go in and out of different ones, and I can tell you, this is an amazing house. This is an incredible church. Come on, are you grateful that you landed? You could have been anywhere, but God saw fit to establish you here. This is a phenomenal church. I'll just say it like this. I said it to the first service. I'll say it to you like this. You people are spoiled up in this church right here. You really are. You've got incredible worship. Come on, give it up for the worship team. You've got incredible leaders, incredible children's ministry, women, I mean, youth. I mean, come on, can you give it up for Pastor Cody and Pastor Mindy, who do a phenomenal job with the youth and young. I mean, you guys are phenomenal. But I think it's a pure reflection of incredible leadership that's found in Pastor Michael and Pastor Rhonda. Come on, can you stand to your feet and show them love and honor? I just honor the both of you for all the sacrifice, the many years. You just don't hear about pastors building over the years, over the decades anymore. And so I just truly appreciate your heart for this local church and the global church. So I appreciate you guys so much. And it's true, Eric and I get to run in a unique space. I did not get to come alone this time. We get to run this together like we've always done. And so this time I was able to bring my beautiful wife, Erica. Erica, would you wave at everybody? This is my wife. And been married 15 years. We've got four kids. That's a lot. I'm telling you, we start churches, not families. That's just Hispanics. That's why we can fit 30 people in a Toyota Corolla on a Saturday morning and go through a garage sale like nobody's business, all right? That's just who we are. That's Hispanic. But we love the fact that every now and then, I love the fact that every now and then my wife gets to get on the plane with me and go somewhere. And I came back from Uproar this past year, and I was like, babe, you need to come with me. You got to come with me. She's like, are you sure? No, you need to come with me. And I'm just telling you, it's such an honor to have her with us, as she's an incredible speaker, singer, performer. I mean, just incredible all across the board, fully gifted. And I just really love that you're with me this weekend. So one more time, can you show some love to my wife? And then I just believe if you honor authority, you'll have some. And I want to say thank God for spiritual leaders in my life, like my spiritual parents, Pastors Adam and Jamie McCain. Can you thank God for great leaders like that who watch over our family, our finances, our marriage? They watch over everything and begin to speak hope and courage and vision into us. And so there's no way that we could do what we do without them just continuing to release that in our life. And so I'm grateful for them. But I recognize this is my first time here, so let me kind of tell you my story. I got saved at a youth camp. I got invited to go. They said, hey, you want to go to camp? And I said, there are going to be hot girls at this camp. You know, I was a 6-year-old little pervert. I had no idea what I was saying at that time. And sure enough, I was going to get some phone numbers, but on the first night of that camp, I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I got called into ministry all in one night. It was a game-changing night for me. And then I came back and went into Bible college, went into the business world, became a missionary, went through youth ministry. And I'm telling you, throughout all of this, we saw this weave of this thread that was commonly weave was integrity, character, the supernatural power of God, and transitioning and transforming cities and nations from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and watching God begin to birth something fresh. And so for the last 10 years of my life, what I've done is stand in the Bible college space and begin to raise up the next wave of influencers. And I was 10 years with Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, Texas. And it was amazing to watch what God did as we began to pioneer 68 campuses across the planet. And I loved watching people from all walks of life, from all spheres of the church and society come in, and they just begin to get mobilized and begin to have an arsenal that they walked in and begin to be sent out into politics and education and ministry and the marketplace. It was a full spectrum. And just this January, we had this incredible vision that we just felt like our hearts were knitted to, and there was this heavenly alignment coming on us. And it was this with Missions Me. Missions Me is most known for its One Nation, One Day campaigns. This is where we just build up this army of a missions team and we storm a nation for the better part of a week. And then we gather in the largest stadiums in the nation, the largest stadiums in the cities of the country. And all on the same night at the same time, we go after one thing, souls and the transformation of an entire nation. It's incredible to watch. But to put it more into language and to give you picture and video to that, we've got this amazing story, this backdrop. If you really knew the journey of what it took just to get it to where it is today, it's incredible what God can do with a simple yes and a response to a vision. And so I want you to turn your attention towards the screens and watch this.
Nearly 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah asked the question, can a nation be saved in a day? Can a country be changed in a moment? We believe this audacious question has been answered. In late 2011, President Lobo Soso of Honduras opened the doors of his government to a new mission era.
The nation, overrun by violence, was desperate for hope. After 2 years of strategic planning and preparation, One Nation, One Day was born. In July of 2013, the largest missions team in history gathered in Miami, filled three chartered 747s, and were strategically placed in every state across Honduras with a goal to reach every person in the entire nation. For 1 week, medical brigades, humanitarian teams, school ministry teams, and national leaders' conferences impacted hundreds of thousands of Hondurans. At the end of the week, Honduras gathered in the 18 largest stadiums in 18 cities simultaneously for a moment that would shift the course of the entire nation.
Father in heaven, we invite your kingdom to come to the nation of Honduras.
In a moment, the global church stepped into a new missions era. In 2015, the One Nation, One Day vision spread to the Dominican Republic. The world watched again as One Nation, One Day forged top-level government partnerships and the national church united for the salvation of their nation. In 2017, the momentum across the globe erupted as missionaries from 33 nations spread out across the nation of Nicaragua and reached one in every seven Nicaraguans face-to-face with the gospel. In 2019, One Nation, One Day expanded to a new continent with a new model built for a nation of 32 million, demonstrating unprecedented unity in the global church. Peruvian teams joined hands with the largest team of international missionaries to date to become the change in their nation. Together, over 10,000 missionaries and volunteers reached 1.1 million Peruvians face-to-face in schools, clinics, clean water sites, and stadiums across the nation. The years following One Nation, One Day campaigns have been marked by measurable transformation. Government leaders collaborate to create solutions to national social issues like gang violence, domestic violence, education, and unity. Follow-up campaigns organically birthed within each nation have marked the sustainability of this new missions era. An era where the global church would unite for the salvation and transformation of entire nations. An era where every person, in every city, in every school, every home, every street corner across the nation can have a face-to-face encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The purpose of the Great Commission was not simply that the church would grow, but that the church would lead. The church united is going to do what the world divided could never do.
Can a nation be saved in a day? Yes, it can.
I wish I had more time to tell you, just 6 months ago while standing in Peru, I wish I could tell you about the 47 fresh water wells that we dug, or perhaps maybe the women's movement against women abuse and empowering women to their rightful place instead of telling them that they don't have a voice and they don't have a position, but to elevate God's creation in the rightful place. I wish I could tell you about the youth movement where in one coliseum we had 10,000 students saying they were going to take spiritual responsibility for their nation, or maybe the 3,000 high schools we hit in 5 days across the whole nation. I wish I could tell you about the 14 medical clinics in 12 different cities, the three boats that we transformed into medical triage centers to go up and down the Amazon River treating people, then preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you about the 1.7 million books that we gave out, 1 million of those being Bibles to new believers. I wish I could tell you about us believing for 500,000 kids to be dewormed, which means they wouldn't suffer from malnutrition anymore, malnourishment, but God in his wisdom gave us the opportunity. We had 1 million deworming pills come in, and we dewormed 1 million kids. I wish I could tell you about 33,000 pastors, 33,000 churches represented in the nation and hearing and being positioned and mobilized for the national transformation movement that was coming on them. Or maybe just going down an entire, what I can tell you is this, is that things are turning to our direction now as the church. And the days, I like to think of it like this, the days where the church spent millions of dollars to impact thousands of people are over. We're going to spend millions to transform generations and nations of people. And that's the lifestyle that we are called to live in this day. It's time to start laying nations at the feet of Jesus. And now we are pivoting. And God has spoken a word in our heart. It's incredible and historic that now we have about faced and we have set our sights and we are going to do a one-day movement. We are going after the city of Los Angeles in 2020, and we believe it's going to be the spark of an awakening and a revival that surges all over our nation, because this is our time as well. And America needs a third great awakening and a great shaking, more than just an election. We need a moral fiber. We need a spiritual empowerment. We need a supernatural encounter on America. And I believe what is on this church is what is in line with the vision that we have at Missions Me, to unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. Now, if you can't be a part of that, there's something wrong with you. Amen. I'm telling you right now, the truth of the matter is, this is not the era of one man, one woman. This is not the era of one denomination or one stream or one philosophy. This is the hour of the church, and we need the whole church to be on the front lines of what God is building right now. What most people don't know about all these stadium events that we do, we don't advertise one man or one band. We don't advertise any names. We say it's not about our labels, our egos, and our logos. It's about one thing, a mandate. It's not about a man, it's about a mandate. And it's amazing how God can still fill stadiums and you don't have any draw cards, you don't have any names attached, just a hunger for an encounter with a living God and a desire to see their entire nation completely transformed into the kingdom of God. That is what we're seeing. Perhaps God would trust us with such a movement in LA that we would get a blueprint. And we, if it can work in LA, we always say, if you touch Los Angeles, you can touch the nations. If it works in Los Angeles, then we can go to Chicago, we can go to Miami, we can go to New York, and we can start taking ground again. Come on, who's about that business right there? It is so humbling to be a part of this. And this is what my wife and I, we've given our lives to. We've sacrificed everything. We left a pretty comfortable position, a very influential position, to serve an amazing vision with incredible leaders that we get to run with. These families, many of them, leaving it all just to be on the front lines in the strategy room of Missions Me and seeing God begin to produce something significant and unique. We want a model the church of America has never seen, and God is continually to blow our minds. It's incredible to watch. And I'm sure I'm sure people are like, tell me more. You can go to onedayla.com, onedayla.com, find out more. I'm telling you, it's incredible. But I came here, I feel like, on assignment. You know, I have the privilege now to say we get a lot of invitations, and now we have to choose where we go. And I just learned a long time ago that I don't want to go where I've been invited. I want to go where I feel sent. Amen. And I'm telling you, I feel sent here. I feel sent to this church. I feel sent to the leaders. I feel sent not just to preach. I want covenant relationship. I want to be knitted. I want to be entwined. I want to be locked in. I want covenant relationship that births something special. And so I'm not here to speak at you. I'm here to speak into you. I'm not here to talk over your head. I'm here to call you forward. I'm here to move you into a direction. I'm not trying to get God to move into my world. I feel like God is getting this church to move into his. And I feel like there's a kingdom mindset on this house where it's never been about just this service or that movement or our name. It has always been, how can we shake this region? How do we win New York? How do I win this area? How do I take the poverty line and completely blow it up because there is no poverty in this area? How do I get rid kid? How do I shut down cancer centers because there's no more cancer in the city because they're stopping by the whole church and they're just getting healed? Or rehab centers dissolving overnight because there's no more addicts in this area. That is what's on this house. And I feel like there's this pull on the inside of me to just move forward. And I feel like I've come with a word. I feel like it's prophetic in nature. I feel like it'll tell you where you're at, but it'll confirm where you're at, but it'll strengthen where you're going. I feel like it'll bring clarity where there was confusion. I feel fire where there was frustration. I feel like there's going to be destiny and desires start to stir up on the inside of you. And so all I need is hunger. It don't matter who's preaching, to be honest with you. It don't matter who's leading worship. If the hunger, if the table is set correctly, if the appetite came to the right place, I'm telling you, you would walk out of here with something fresh. Do I have a hungry church this morning? Do I have people who are saying, I don't care what it tastes like. I want it to nourish me, build me, and then I want to use it as fuel to do what God told me to do. And I have hungry people in the building this morning. All right, now listen, if you're hungry, I believe the Word of God deserves a response. In other words, I believe the Word of God should have home field advantage. I liked playing on my home field because I had the most crowd support. Well, I feel like the Word should have the most crowd support this morning. Can you talk back to me? Listen, don't go quiet on me. If you go quiet, you're going to see this Mexican with a mic get real insecure. And it's not pretty when that happens, okay? So please, can you talk back to me? Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Say, come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody.
Say, come on, somebody. I don't know. Spell it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Come on, church. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
I believe you. I believe you. All right. Turn on your Bible and go to Matthew 14. Yes, I know what generation and day we live in. Turn it on. If you open it, that's fine. If you turn it on, that's fine. The word of God says it's the word of God that's living and active, not what it's written on.
Amen.
Just making the religious people updated. That's all. All right. So, I want to give you something intentional. I really feel purposed in my heart. I really do. With this word, I now have a little bit more wiggle room here, but I really feel purposed in my heart that this message has a prophetic edge to it. So I want you to hear with spiritual hearing. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Come on, church, can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. In Matthew 14 and Mark chapter 6, I want you to find those places. You're going to find we're going to read from two different locations, but it's the same encounter, all right? This is two different places in your Bible, but we're having in the same conversation, the same moment. And what I find is that Mark says something that Matthew doesn't. We'll find that out later. But in Matthew 14, Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. And it's always been interesting to me that when God always did something and produced a miracle, there was always more left over than what he started with. Whenever he multiplied food, they started out with a few loaves of fish and a few loaves of bread and a few fish, but there were 12 baskets laid up afterwards. There's always more left over than what he started with. And but it's interesting, after they see this miracle, immediately what Jesus does. How many know God is purposeful in everything that he does? So if he's doing something, he's doing something on purpose. And if he's doing nothing, he's doing nothing on purpose. So whether he's doing something or he's doing nothing, how many of you know we can have faith because he's doing it on purpose? Are you with me? God does not miss a moment. He's intentional, he's deliberate, and he makes them do something supernaturally intentional right here in Matthew 14, verse 22. Let's read it together. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Let me stop right here. I believe that you have to understand that when you're reading your word, many times we read it with a one-dimensional mindset. But you have to, I'm not talking about new revelation mindset, I'm talking about multi-dimensional mindset. Let me put you like this. God, those of us who are one-dimensional think God has love. Multi-dimensional understands God is love. God doesn't have fire, he is fire. God doesn't have joy. He is our joy. He doesn't have peace. He is our peace. He doesn't have healing. He is our healing. Are you following me? So when you're talking about different viewpoints, when you're talking about grace and hope and life, you're talking about different sides of the same person. His name is Jesus. And here you have his talking is indifference. In other words, let me put it to you like this. He, to the disciples, is talking about a location when he says it's time to go to the other side. Everybody say the other side. But to you and I, it's a seasonal change. And I believe the prophetic statement this morning is telling you it's time to go to the other side. Now, I'm not saying the other side to get you spiritually hyped. I'm literally talking about promises turning to fulfillment. Prophecy turning into realization. It's no longer dreams. It's now destiny. It's no longer just gonna happen. It is happening right now. Are you following me? It's time to go to the other side. But what I have noticed is when you go from one season into the next season, many times we try to bring things from the old season into the new season. And you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. What happens is we try to bring, God doesn't need you to bring all your failures, your fears, and your frustrations into the new season. He also doesn't need you to bring all your wins, your successes, and your trophies into the new season, because trophies turn to anchors real quick, which is why we got sister girl and brother so-and-so stuck in the 1970s movement they were in and talking about how great it was behind them and not how God's good before them. And what happens is we get lost in an outpouring or an expression of God in a decade or a season, and we want what God did in the 80s, and we want what he did in the 90s, and you want what he did last year. I honor all the moves of God. I honor the fathers and mothers of revival, but they built upon each other to this moment right now that we could have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a way that we have never seen. And I don't know about you, I don't want to chase what happened in the 80s. I want what God has for us now. Anyone else? That's what I mean by going to the other side. Now let me help somebody else out. For you going to the other side, notice what he does. He says, you're going to the other side. I'm sending the crowds away. You can't bring everyone with you to the other side. No, you need to hear this. One of the biggest part of a revival for you is you break up with that person you've been messing around with. He got real quiet. Like, amen. Oh, crud. We in this. Let me say it like this. It was amazing to me how I could find 20 people to go to the club with, but I couldn't find one person to go to church with. Listen, if you can find 15 people to get drunk and high with, but you can't find one person to pray you through, friend, it's time to let God whittle down your crowd and you start going to the other side, because you cannot bring everyone with you to the other side. He says this, get in the boat. I'm sending the multitudes away. You are going to the other side. Look at verse 23. I'm one verse in. I'm already preaching. Verse 23. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Now follow me, church. What was in the middle of the sea? The what? And the boat was where? It was in the middle. I want you to remember that. He says the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. It's right here I want to interject Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. Because I believe Mark adds something that Matthew did not. Mark has a way of keeping it supernaturally real. It says in the same moment, same encounter, two different locations, Mark chapter 6 verse 48. It says, then Jesus saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, watch this, and would have passed them by. You see that right there? Does that not make anybody else mad? Jesus sees them struggling at rowing and wasn't even planning on stopping. This is un-American of Jesus. Twitter would be blown up right here. You know what I'm saying? Like all the Facebook prophets and apostles would be coming after Jesus right now. It's amazing how people can hide behind a hashtag and a profile, but you don't find them standing in the city squares preaching the rightful gospel and the right amount of grace and the right amount of mercy. It's amazing how many critics there are. You know what I have found coming into a new city? I'm just going to go off. I'm just like the plane's leaving in a little bit. I'm great. The truth is that I have found when you are pioneering something new, which is what you guys are as a church and as you guys as individuals, you will always have naysayers. You will always have critics. You will have cynics. And listen, they're not just outside of the church. They are in the church. Sometimes church can be the most dangerous place you go. Some of you who came in this morning, it took you all of whatever time, 6 months, 6 years, just to get in this church service because you got church hurt. I honor your faith, you coming in this morning. But it's amazing to me how many people will say what is possible and what is not possible. What God can do and what he can't do, as if he couldn't do anything. It's always amazing to me. And I find that this church is puncturing holes in layers and levels of what people said this is possible and this is not possible. And I find it's going to come on your marriage. Come on, it's going to come on your job. It's going to come on your family. It's going to come on your own personal destiny. He says he would have passed them by. I want to come back to this because I feel like there might be some people that feel like Jesus is overlooking me. While I'm watching others get their breakthrough and their blessing, I myself am getting forgotten. I want to keep coming back to this. Jump back to Matthew 14. Look at verse 26. It says, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." So Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said to him, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, Peter was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of the living God." Let's pray this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I speak to this atmosphere and I say that you are full of faith and you are full of hope and you are full of peace and you are full of joy. And I come against every restriction, every barrier, every limit, every obstacle. And I say it is broken right now in Jesus' name. And I call every man and every woman into their destiny. I call them into their season. I call them into alignment, God. I call them out of confusion and into clarity, God. I call them out of weakness and into strength, Father. I call them out of wanderings and into kingdom identity, Father. And you would establish them to be a problem for the devil on the front lines of a fresh outpouring that is sweeping the globe, Father. This is not just Horseheads, New York. This is not just Elmira or Syracuse or Rochester's. This is a kingdom effort, God, how you are expanding it and knitting it to people they have not yet met. This is not just a church, God. This is a hub. This is not just a name, God. This is a driven passion, Father. This is not logos, egos, labels to be known, spotlighted, and platformed, God. This is to serve. This is to fight. This is to war. And this is to bring in the spoils and cast our crowns of nations and cities and throw them at your beautiful feet because you paid the price for it, God. May we give you what you desperately want, generations of people who know nothing of your love, to know everything about your love. Lord, I thank you for every man and every woman in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shout it!
Amen,
amen. Amen. I feel like praying. If you're taking notes, I surely hope that you are. The title of this message is called Born for the Storm. Born for the Storm. I feel like I told you there's prophetic edges all over this thing, so prepare to have God begin to give you something. My wife and I mentioned earlier, we have four beautiful kids, and two boys, two girls, and my oldest girl just kind of stands on her own lane. She's 10 going on 40, all right? She's more mature than two of me. She's just an incredible leader. She's a friend to everyone. I mean, she just has this pursuit, this passion. It's awesome to watch God develop her. And but she is, like, she's like a 40-year-old in a 10-year-old body. I remember one time she came up to my couch and said to me, she said, "Dad, let me get your attention." I was watching football. She said, "Dad, listen, hey, Dad, how's your marriage? You and Mom good? We need to pray about anything? Come on, what's in your heart right now? Do you have a vision for?" I mean, this is exactly how my daughter talks, all right? She's just like her mama. And so I remember we were hosting a conference in Dallas, and it was live streaming on a pretty major Christian network. And I went to the founder and I said, "You know, how many people does this have the potential to reach?" He said, "We're going to reach 700 million homes. That's 1 billion people on planet Earth." I was like, "Wow, that's awesome. No pressure. That's awesome, though." And so I remember it was a busy week. We were having meetings and moments. It was incredible. And I remember in the middle of it, my oldest daughter, Jasmine, came to me and she said, Daddy, I miss you. I said, Baby, I miss you too. I said, you know what? Why don't you come with me tonight, be on TV with me, and you go ahead and we'll find some time in the margins. We'll have a good time. She said, yeah. I said, but now, Jasmine, listen, there's 700 million homes. There's a billion people that's going to be watching your life tonight. So I need you having a prepared word. Be ready. She said, Daddy, I'm ready. I said, are you sure you're ready? She says, I'm ready. I got this. I'm ready. I said, no problem. We get in the car. I said, now, Jasmine, this is 700 million homes. This is a billion people, girl, that are going to be watching you. I need you coming strong tonight. She said, Daddy, I'm ready. Okay, no problem. We get in the green room. I said, baby, 700 million homes, a billion people. And I don't need you bringing no soft word up in here, all right? I need you bringing God's anointed word for this time. 10 years old. She said, Daddy, I'm so ready. I was ready yesterday. That's how ready I am. I got this. We get in the studio. And I said, Jasmine, they said 90 seconds. Jasmine, this is 700 million homes. This is a billion kids. And we're Estradas. And you don't bring that weak trash up in this moment, okay? And you better release it, girl, with some thunder and some fire. She said, Daddy, I'm ready. 60 seconds. I said, no, Jasmine, this is 700 million homes. This is a billion people. Billion with a B, girl. They're going to be watching your baby teeth flap some messages to them. And I need you to come accurate. Daddy, I'm ready. 30 seconds. Jasmine, 700 million homes, okay? A billion people. I need you bringing it. We are, don't you, you bring it, girl. She said, Daddy, I'm ready. 15 seconds. Jazz, you ready? Daddy, I don't want to do this. Daddy, I don't want to do this. I can't do it. Daddy, I don't want to do this. 10 seconds. No, you're going to do this. Daddy, please don't make me do it. I don't want to do it. She starts crying and having a breakdown 10 seconds before we're supposed to go live. 700 million homes, a billion people. Now, let me just pause the story. I am the type of parent that if you say you're going to do something, baby, you're going to do it. If you commit it, you're going to follow through because I'm trying to train you for marriage and for life that you're not full of half promises and half-hearted saying. I'm not one of these little millennial parents that makes up all these dumb, weak excuses and water down their kid and then want a participation trophy at the end of the season. No, a W means you put in the grind, you put in the work, you put in the hustle, and if you get the W, you get the satisfaction that you got it. If you play me, in anything, if you play my wife, in anything, we plan on dominating you. We plan on, I don't care if it's my 3-year-old in a matching game or my 12-year-old in 2K, I plan on destroying you. I plan on winning. I didn't come to play to lose. I'm not going to be one of those, I let you, no, I ain't letting nobody win. You're going to get a win, what it feels like to be a win, and then you're going to get a loss and take that out and cry somewhere else because that don't work in the Estrada house. Just helping out some parents this morning. We have a parenting curriculum at the back table. I'm not lying. It's pretty awesome. So my daughter said, Daddy, please, I don't want to take it. I don't want to do it. I'm like, you're going to stay right here. 5, 4. And then I said, hey, everybody, welcome to Voice of Healing. We're so excited that you're watching us tonight. Man, it's been an incredible service. I got someone special with me in the studio. I got my daughter, Jasmine. Jasmine, hasn't tonight been incredible, just powerful? She's like, oh, my gosh, Dad, it's been so good watching what God's doing in the room. It's significant. I said, wow, that's right. I said, Jasmine, there's some people that need a touch from God. Why don't you pray for them? Okay, she goes like this. She goes, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the peace of heaven. She like yells it, heaven. And I said, wow, that was powerful. She said, yeah, Dad, I felt a good release on that one. Someone totally got that. Lights go out. Hey, thanks for watching. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Cameras go off. I can't believe you made me do that. She didn't talk to me for 2 days. Ask her mom. She didn't talk to me. She was so mad at me. But what Jasmine was learning is what I've had to learn many times. Is that God, my loving Father, would never put me in a position to fail or humiliate myself or Him. He is putting me in positions to stretch me, to grow me, to expand, to give me new perspective, to allow a refreshing in my vision and in my own life. And I believe this is where we find it. We don't find it at the start and at the end. We find it in the middle, being born for a storm. Too many of us might complain, I'm always in this, it's always my family, it's always me. Friend, you were born for that. Why do I have dreams that seem to be on me? Why do I have dreams that don't match my bank account? Why do I have plans that don't match my connection base? Why do I have plans that I don't even know those people yet, I'm called to those people? It's amazing how much God can do with what you don't have already. You are born for the storm. And if we're gonna live like that, let me give you three things. Three things real quick. Number one, walk where He tells you to walk.
walk exactly where he tells you to walk. Don't take one step to the left or one step to the right. Walk exactly where he tells you to walk. You know, as we were building this amazing vision called Missions Meet, you encounter some new problems that perhaps the church itself has never encountered. We came up to opposition, and we knew that God had set a path. He had set a storyline for us to follow, and how we aligned ourselves became so clear that we cannot go to right, we cannot go to a reason, and we cannot go to excuse. We have to build this thing by faith. We have to build this thing through the channels of covenant. We cannot build this off a connection. We cannot build this off a contract people. We have to be covenant, knitted together to sustain what God is doing. I have to walk exactly where he tells me to walk. You know, one of the issues we encountered in Honduras was that we were building, at that time, the biggest missions team that we had ever assembled. It was about 2,000 people. And I remember we went to every major airline and almost with laughing in their voice said, there's no way you're going to get that many tickets. I mean, just in Peru, we owned almost every international seat for 3 days going into Peru. 10,000 people from 43 nations, 150 organizations. That's an army. That is the largest missions team in the history of the church right there. That happened in our day. And so as we went into Honduras, the minister of tourism came to us and said, you can't come. Now, we have been working in this nation for many years, and now we're being told this thing is going to die. For one simple fact, we had chartered 747s from a private airline, and 747s had never landed in Honduras because the runway was not big enough. The airport was not in the right category. I don't know if you know this, but airports have different categories for different planes that can land there. They said, there's no way you can come. You chartered the wrong planes. And at this time, there was no other way to actually get another plane. You have to book these things years in advance. So it's a miracle that we got these planes. They said, there's no way you can come. We said, what else can we think outside the box? Because I know he told us to walk here. I know he told us to come. What else can we do? They said, well, I don't know if you got it, but we're going to need to build a bigger airport, a bigger runway. So we said, no problem. We'll do that. I don't know of another missions organization that has ever committed. Now forget digging water wells, which is great, or going into impoverished areas and giving out food and creating self-sustaining forms in their life. But to build a nation, a bigger airport, I'm not sure a missions group has ever done this. So we just said, yeah, we'll do it. No problem. We got this. They said, how are you going to do it? We said, we have a private funder. We're so ready. It's going to be great. We just got to activate them. You know? And sure enough, wouldn't you know, 747s ended up landing in Honduras in 2013 or 2011, and we watched the first 747s ever land in a nation were filled with missionaries and ambassadors of heaven that have transformed the nation, that the homicide rate has gone down, the suicide rate has gone down, the poverty line has gone down. How did that happen? That wasn't a non-government or organization. That wasn't a significant agency or one. That was the church paving that runway. That was visionaries and builders building an extension on what had happened. This is why we walk exactly where he tells us to walk. You know, we always say within our own team that our days look so different than what we could ever imagine. In the same day, you'll be shaking the hand of the president, and 2 hours later, you'll be picking up the bag of a missionary. In the same day, you'll shake the hand of the premier or the vice president or the vice air marshal or somebody of significance, the billionaire of the nation. You'll be around those people, and later that night, you're laying hands on people who don't even have fresh water within their region. This is what we're called to. So if we only want good weather and clear skies, friend, it's not going to be for you. We have to walk where he tells us to walk. Now, what happens many times is we read this text, if not the whole Bible, in a third-person mindset. We read it from the outside looking in. What we really need to do is read it in first person and read it from Peter's perspective. You understand where Peter's at? Peter is not Apostle Peter. He's like barely disciple Peter. Okay, he's still fisherman Peter. This fool is not even grown yet. And he's sitting there, and he's watching Jesus walk on water. Now, to you and I, it's like, wow, God is limitless. There's nothing he can't do. But to Peter, it's a personal gospel message. Because the fact that Jesus is walking on water is a different frame and perspective to him. Because Peter, as a fisherman, has looked at the water as an enemy his entire life. And no one was able to beat that enemy.
because the enemy determined how many fish he would catch, which then determined if he could feed his family, which then determined if he could grow his business or he could actually have some security. And the water determined that. So he was constantly at war with the enemy. Yet Peter sees Jesus having no problem high-stepping and strolling right past and on top of his enemy. Now, I'm excited that Jesus walked on the water, but I'm also excited that he wasn't the only one. Because when Peter saw it, there was probably something in Peter, aside from the fact that the storms was raging and the waves were big, that I have to walk on water too. So he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. And Peter gets out of the boat, and Peter starts to feel like, with one step, what it's like to walk all over his enemy. And then with two steps, to familiarize the senses. Some of you, you've tasted how God's good been in past seasons. You've tasted the breakthrough. You've seen the healing. You've seen the miracle. But somehow, some way, this new season of opposition and challenges, this new season of obstacles has somehow brainwashed, if not mind wiped you to think God can't do it this time. I am here to tell you that he has never lost not one day in tracked humanity. He has never been defeated. He is the supply that never runs dry. His arm is never short. God is not out of oil. He's out of vessels. And what happens is we start blaming the fact that we don't have any oil when the truth is I don't have as many vessels to put some oil in. What happens is we start complaining the opposition. Well, you know, probably the paramount figure of opposition in the Old Testament was actually Goliath. Well, and it's interesting, you know Goliath's name, David and Goliath, you know Goliath's name in the original Philistine? It literally means to reveal. What Goliath did not know is his very presence was revealing the true king of Israel. I wonder what your challenges say about you. I wonder what your trouble could reveal about you. I wonder what life could, as it strips you by and you build your faith, as God tears things down to build it back up, as he adds to you and builds upon you, chisels you, and then actually champions you. I wonder what it's saying about you right now. I'm not letting circumstances do all the talking. I'm not letting a doubt do all the talking. I'm not letting worry consume my thoughts, my emotions. I'm not letting my mood change because of my bank account, my relationships, my marriage. No, I am going to walk exactly where he told me to walk, and it will be a cold day in hell when I choose to give up because I have found that God is too faithful, and he is too good, and he is too strong, and I will walk an impossible walk even if no one else is with me. It's amazing to me how many times we met. I've heard this passage preached like 1,000 times. In fact, when God gave me this message, I was like, I don't want to preach that. Everybody preaches that. But it's true. I've heard this preached 1,000 times. I think many times we forget a few things. You know, a lot of people preach it like Peter was drowning. Well, yeah, he walked on the water, but he drowned too. You remember that? He drowned too. That's not what it says. Read the text. That's not what it says. It says he began to sink. You're the world's worst fisherman if you can't swim. You talk about missing it. That's not what it says. It says he began to sink. And a lot of people would probably criticize Peter for that. Yeah, he walked, but he began to sink. No, hold on 1 second. Let me just clear this up. You're telling me, if my haters are telling me, yeah, you walked on water, but remember you started to drown. No, first off, number one, I began to sink. But the second thing is that at least I was close enough to Jesus that all he had to do was reach down and pick me up. Where were you? You were still stuck in a boat full of opinions, a boat full of false strategies, past movements, past thoughts. No, at least I walked where he told me to walk. I think many times we preach incredible truth, but it's true, but it's incomplete. It's like we preach like God can see today. You understand, God doesn't see to the corner. He sees around the corner. God doesn't see the mountain. He sees over the mountain. God doesn't just see today. He sees tomorrow. Are you with me? And we preach this amazing man, this side of him. He's a gentle shepherd. He's the lover of your soul. He's a lamb. But the Bible also says he's not just a lamb, he's a lion as well. And every now and again, God will restore the roar in your life and in this church so that you become activated and weaponized and you are on the front lines taking ground. This is what it looks like to walk where he tells you to walk. Here's the second thing. If we're going to be born for the storm, number two, learn to live in the middle. Learn to live in the middle. By the way, if you see me doing this, it's not because I'm mad at you or I'm mean mugging or anything else. It's literally because my contacts were thrown away and I can't see nothing. But you look great. And number two, learn to live in the middle. I think we don't like the middle. We hate the middle. We like starting because we've got a lot of vision and strategy and enthusiasm and we're ready. And then we love finishing because we've been in the grind so long and we've been building for so long, we just want some relief and the sense of a finished work and accomplishment. But we really do hate the middle. And the reason why, here's the number one reason why people hate the middle, is because it's full of all the unexpected. It's full of what you didn't plan. It's full of what you didn't see. It's full of what you didn't have on the calendar, the money you didn't spend. And then what happens is I have found that most people stop in the middle and then they get stuck. I could take this in a way, but follow me for a second. What happens is we get stuck in the middle and then we don't know what to do. Because all we did was we built a camp where he was telling, no, I didn't need you to build here. I need you to journey here. To the spiritual mature, the middle is the best part of your life. When you go through seasons, storms, trials, challenges, opposition, obstacles, when you go through all of that, you know that the middle is the sweetest part because that's where he reveals a fresh perspective of himself. That's where you get to know the God that provides for you or the God that heals you or your ever-present help or the God that fought for you or the warrior nature of the Holy Spirit and he protects you. Again, we teach things. They're true, but they're incomplete. You know, I think for whatever reason, we have forgotten this amazing truth that whatever happens in this life, it must mean I have authority over it. Let me help you out. Let me just help you out. You remember in Job, I thought it was Job. I'm like, dang, these people are serious about work up in the church. They want jobs. Remember Job? Remember what God does? It says the sons of God are meeting and Satan stands in line. And what does Satan do? He comes up and God says, where have you been? And he says, oh, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth. And God says this. Notice this. God says, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth. Notice who brings Job up to Satan. God does. Not Job. God does. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my man? There ain't no one like him on earth. And then God, and this is what Satan says. Well, he only serves you because you put a hedge of protection around him. Let me stop the story right here. How would Satan know there's a hedge of protection? Had he not tried to attack Job and God canceled the attack, fought off the attack, didn't let the attack go through, and Job had no idea. We are only aware of what God allows. You don't even know this side of heaven what he's already fought off, what he's already canceled, what hasn't come on your life, and anything else he lets through, it means you're born for it, you're built for it, you're chiseled for it, because you walk exactly where he tells you to walk, and you'll learn to live in the middle. You know, I've been in the middle of a lot of things. I've been in the middle of stupid a lot of times. Anybody else had the spirit of stupid come on their life? I mean, I feel like if stupid were a city, they'd have me, like a street named after me there. I'm telling you, like, that's my wife. I'm being honest. I'm telling you, she's the real Christian. I'm just a preacher. I've been in the middle a lot, but I'm always, that word middle stood out. And every time someone comes in my life or comes into my office, they always walk in, Pastor Chris, I'm in the middle of a crisis. I'm in the middle of a storm. I'm in the middle of a struggle. It's amazing how this happens. The middle, the middle, the middle, the middle, the middle. You know, I remember one time I was in Guatemala, and I was preaching at a pastor's conference, and that morning I was eating breakfast with the pastor and the leaders at their home, and I remember I'm sitting at the table by myself, and everybody's getting stuff ready, and all of a sudden the table starts to shake like this, just like this. Now, I don't know what they do in New York, but where I was from, they don't do that on their own. Okay, unless in California, they might do that on their own, okay? But it starts doing that, and then it gets more violent. And then it starts doing this. Have you ever noticed something that you're pretending not to notice? Yeah, have you ever noticed, and things are, it's not happening. Have you ever done that? So I'm sitting there, and it's now, by this time, it's shaking. I mean, it's like, boom, just like this. And it's like going back and forth. And I thought, you know what? I could stop this. Let me grab a banana. I don't know why I thought if I grab a banana, I could stop this. But your boy grabbed a banana. I don't know why. So I'm holding the banana, and I'm doing this with the banana, just like this. Holding that. Just like. Then I thought if I eat the banana, let me do that. So I'm not lying. This is how I'm telling you, stupid. So I'm like peeling the banana. But the problem is I can't get the banana in my mouth, and I'm getting banana all over my face. Till finally I yell for the pastor. I said, hey, doesn't anyone else notice stuff is moving up in here? Pastor leans back and goes, oh, Pastor Chris, that's not even a 5.0. We're good. Don't even worry about it. I got you. I was shook. Why was their response a lot different from my reaction? Because they have been through the middle before. This is what I did not say in the first service, is you need middle people in your life. And middle people don't come in all shining and spotlighted. They don't come in platformed and pretty. They come in with a few scars. They come in with a few bruises. They come in with some bad. They come in with some good. They come in with some losses. And they come in with some wins. What I have noticed is middle people are not critical. It's amazing to me how many people act like they've never been through junk before. How nothing's ever touched their life, and every decision they made is perfect, and everything they do, everybody should just model. That's not true. I literally travel around the world. I speak in great churches and great movements. I get to serve an amazing vision, and trust me, there's things in me I'm like, I can't believe. I'm scared. I'm a reference point. You'd be surprised, man. I've got graduates all over the world, and I used to tell them, like, listen, I'm scared that you guys look up to me. Because I know, listen, I live with me. All right, I know how messed up I am. Okay, nobody wants to, hey, you're probably right. This dude grabbing bananas in the middle of an earthquake. Truth is, you need middle people because they're not cynics. They're not critics. It's amazing how when people go through something, there's a level of humility that comes on them. And they know their first reaction is not to pick up a stone and throw it at a woman. Their first reaction is to defend and heal the woman. I believe you're that church. You are middle people. And you have been through stuff. And it was for a reason. God works all things together for the good of those that love him. And I promise you, it felt like death when you were going through it. But baby, it's going to produce some life on this side, on the other side. It felt like confusion, but now all of a sudden it's clarity. It felt like darkness, but God's just lit a fire and it's become light. That is what the middle teaches you. It's amazing. We need more middle people. We need people who are missing a few teeth spiritually. Some of you are ahead of your time. I'm from Texas, trust me, I can say that. Hello. Truth is, I believe that we all can learn something from the middle. You know, as I've read this text, it's interesting because as a good preacher, you want to give everything a voice. So the water, if the water could talk, what would the water say? If the boat could talk, what would the boat say? If the storm could talk, what would the storm say? So I want to give everything a voice. What I have never heard is if the boat could talk, what would the boat say? So we're going to have boat talks up in here this morning. Not boat talks for all the fake plastic people. I'm talking about boat talks, okay? I'm interested in verse 24 here, Matthew 14. It literally says, the boat was in the middle of the sea. I want you, many times it would help us to notice what the scripture does not say. It does not say the disciples were in the middle of the storm. It says the boat was in the middle of the storm. Here's my question. Who put them in this boat? Look at verse 22. It literally says Jesus makes them, forces them, in one translation, to get in this boat. Why? Because if you know Jesus like I know Jesus, he did not pick the safest boat. This dude was like, I'm going to put them in a situation where they have to trust me, where there is no other way, but they're going to get it and they're going to receive it. Jesus went down to that dock and he didn't go, I don't need too big of a yacht, too nice. No, we don't need a helicopter on back. No, this is too safe. Too many bells and whistles. He came down to, yeah. Hey, get in this boat. This little boat right here. This little skiff. Get in this boat right here. And I'm sure all 12 were like, he can't be serious. This fool is outside his mind. He cannot be serious. And I'll tell you, they all came over this boat. And I'm sure they're getting in. And the tax collectors are like, what? It floats. But the fishermen are kind of like, well, Lord, I don't know. You know, you the carpenter. We the fishermen. I'm going to tell you right. If you know Jesus, come on. You know he found the most janky, shadiest, questionable thing. That way, it was like a piece of plywood. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just was never going to float. He probably found that. I'm sure Peter was like, hey, there's no way. And Jesus is like, Peter, get in this boat. He makes them get in this boat. Now, what's interesting is notice what it says. It says that the boat was in the middle of the sea. If they were in this middle of the storm, and all of a sudden, some of them start saying, this is too dangerous, we have to turn back. I'm sure that if the boat could talk, the boat would stop the storm and say, excuse me, sorry, hey, excuse me, let me get your attention, please, excuse me. He said you were going to the other side, and he told you to get in me, to get in this boat, which must mean you have trust issues because you don't trust what he puts you in. I'm here to tell you, most marriages don't make it because they don't trust God could completely form the person who would be their soulmate, their helpmate, their one, their grace to be that wife or that husband, because they're too busy confused. Why would God put me in this? It's real quiet up in this Pentecostal church all of a sudden. Man, we're taking an offering after this. I'm not sure how that's going to go. It's amazing to me how many people get so sidetracked by a career that just offers more money, but it has nothing in their skill set to offer them, nothing in their gift mix. They're just hungry to finally have a few debts paid off and some money in the bank so they don't live paycheck to paycheck. Friend, do not lower your goal to being rich. Do not lower your goal to being famous. You were built for more. You were not here just to have it all. You are here to consume, be built, establish, be wealthy, and at the same time, you were taking ground, and you were taking nations, and you were leading people into the kingdom of darkness. I think there's some of us in this room that need to have our mind a little bit, our world expanded a little bit more by the Spirit of God, because it's time to live in the middle. Here's the second thing of the boat. It says, now the boat was in the middle. Notice the scripture, it gives us the geographical location of where this boat is at. This is interesting to me. Many times the scripture does not do it. It says it was in the middle. The middle. The sea that they're crossing is the Sea of Galilee. It is 8 miles long. It's 13 miles long. It's 8 miles wide. And they're crossing the width of it. And it says they were in the middle. No doubt, again, people are saying, no, we got to turn back. This is what people who have never been through the middle of something, middle people never say turn back. This is how you know who needs to be with you in this season and who does not. Middle people never say, no, we have to go back to where it's safe, where it makes sense, where we have break. It doesn't say that. I'm sure if they were saying, we have to turn back, the boat would say, excuse me, you're in the middle. And it would take you the same amount of energy, the same amount of effort, the same amount of strength to go backwards as it is to go forward. Why would you trade your future for familiar? Just stay in the middle. I'm here to tell you, you are middle people. You are built for a longevity. You are not a sugar rush with the Holy Spirit. You are not a flash in the pan for this region. You are built for the long term. You are built for the long race. You are playing the long game, and it's time to establish you are middle people. Amen. You know, I believe that many times we come in storms, and then we feel like God doesn't even notice. It says in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus sees them struggling at rowing and would have passed them by. I think many, let's be honest, there's probably some of us in this room that feel like God just forgot, changed his mind, used somebody else. Can I tell you, God doesn't let those dreams and those callings die. The Bible literally says the gifts and calls of God are irrevocable. The moment you activate yourself to walk in it, it starts to possess you. It's amazing how God does this. I think for some of us, we have forgot. We feel like God is ignoring us. Friend, God is not ignoring you. He's waiting on you. It says they see him walking and they cried out for fear. It's saying it's a ghost. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid. And Peter finally says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. This is number three right here. Number three, it says, answer the invitation. I'm trying to hurry to get to the end. I just feel the presence of God building right now. I really feel like there's some of us in this room that you're in storms. You're tormented in your thoughts. You can't sleep. It's one medical issue after another. It's another broken this. It's another bad that. It's another relationship that goes south. It's all of that. But there's always an invitation. It says that we have record of Jesus being in two storms. We have the one here we're reading, Matthew 14, Mark chapter 6, and it also has the one in Mark chapter 4. It says in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. We were blessed enough to take a cruise this year, and people told me, hey, when you booked the room, they said, stay in the bottom of the boat. Because watch this, the lower you are, the less you feel. Let me help you out. Jesus is asleep where? In the bottom of a boat. I find that too many people feel their storm
And they feel too much of their storms in their life because they're too busy trying to outshine, outgrind, outbuild, outrun, outlast everyone else. And because that pride has so caught them up, they don't have enough time to humble themselves, because the lower you are, the less you feel. I like what Bill Johnson says. He says you only have authority over the storms you can sleep through. I believe there are middle people in this room. You are feeling too much of your storm because you haven't lowered yourself enough yet. You know what else they told me in a cruise? They said, depending on the time you set sail will determine the price. In other words, if you go when there's guaranteed good weather, you're going to pay a higher price to get to the same place. But watch this. If you don't mind water in your face and wind in your hair and a little risky business and risky seasons, you will get to the same place. But guess what? You don't pay as high of a price. I think some of us are taking the longer route when we don't need to. I want to tell you, God only brings you the battles you're ready to win. No, this is not just a good grace preach. I'm telling you, look at the way he delivered the Israelites. It says that once he brought them out, he could have taken them by the land of the Philistines, except he knew the Philistines would make war on the Israelites. And because they would do that, it means that the Israelites would return to Egypt. So God brought them the longer route, knowing they were not ready. In other words, God will only bring you to the battles you're ready to win. Depending on the time you set sail will determine the price you pay. I'm here to tell you, today is the day to start sailing. You're born for the storm. Answer the invitation. Now, I believe in the literacy of the Bible. It says Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on the water. He answers this invitation. But I don't believe Peter just defied science, physics, and gravity. I believe that he had extra under his feet. I believe he had one word: come. Come. I feel like heaven is extending an invitation to you. I need you to come with me. I need the next 5 years you to let me build something on the inside of you. I need the next 20 years to be the greatest years of your life, that the best is not behind you, the best is literally ahead of you, that I need you to come. It's time to answer the invitation. It's not enough. Church attendance won't answer the invitation. I'm here to tell you, just serving won't answer the invitation. I'm telling you, what answers the invitation is the place of prayer and the place of giving your life. And it's all of those things put together because you were born for it. It's time that you know you were born for the storm. I think many times we forget that we were born for this. It says that Jesus slept in one storm, but then walked on the other. I think some of us need to realize what storms we're supposed to sleep through and what storms we're supposed to walk through. If you remember the one he sleeps through, he wakes up, he gets up, and he rebukes the storm. Do you remember this? That word rebuke in the original Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Aramaic, it's all the same root word. It literally means the word they use to deal with the demonic. So Jesus noticed this is an unusual weather pattern and started dealing with the demonic right there. It says he rebukes the storm and the storm falls apart. I believe that some of us, we're walking through storms we should be rebuking, and we need to be rebuking storms we're trying to walk through. I feel like there's some of us that you need to recognize what storm is which. Can I help you out? It says that he rebukes the storm, and it was an unusual pattern. I think there's some of us in this room, it's one thing after another thing after another thing. That's a storm you rebuke. Have you ever had a season, perhaps you're in one, problem after another problem, after another issue, after another broken this, after another trial, and it just seems like one thing after another thing? Friend, that's a storm you need to rebuke. You have authority to rebuke that storm. But if you go through storms and perhaps you're rebuking it, it's not stopping, but you also take notice that it's not stealing your joy, and it didn't steal your peace, and it didn't steal your faith, and it didn't steal your focus, friend, that's a storm you have authority to walk through. The difference, the real challenge here is just to know which one is which. If there's unusual patterns, those are ones you rebuke. If there's storms, but you're not losing any of your spiritual being, not losing who you are in Christ, can I tell you something? That's an authority that you have, that you can walk over that storm. I really feel like today there's people you have unusual patterns. I just feel like it's time that you take authority over. I feel like there's been storm after storm, maybe against the church, in the church, in your marriage, with your kids, in your finances, in your health. It's just one thing after another. It's time that you get your breakthrough today. Would you stand up with me? I don't want you to miss your moment here.
I truly believe that you can break through right now. I don't believe you need an anointed person to touch you. I believe in impartation, but I don't believe that you need somebody to just come lay hands on you, and once they do it, all of a sudden, because now your faith is resting in a man and not in him. What I believe is that your own hunger and your own desire can bring you to a place in him that you find it in him, and through him, he releases a breakthrough, and you can give credit to God and not man, because that's the day we're living in. If you're here today, honestly, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you have never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, you can't deal with storms until you do that. I believe there are people here today, you've never given your life to Jesus, but it's time that you answer the invitation. He's literally saying, I know it's stormy. I know there's trouble. I know you have things going on. You took everything in you to get to this service. I believe you didn't come here so that you could have just one moment. I believe you came here to have your eternity changed. But you have to answer the invitation. Can I have the prayer team join us, please? I really sense there's people here this morning. You've never given your life to Jesus. This is your moment. I also believe there are people going through storms. There are people who don't know that you could actually stop what's going on. Let me just give you a little example. 2 years ago, I was playing basketball. I made a move, and I tore my ACL in half. My knee went like this. Tore my ACL. Yeah, it didn't tickle. And boom, just popped like that. And then about 4 weeks, no, like 2-3 weeks later, my mother-in-law goes into the hospital, and she's in a coma on her deathbed, and we don't know. It's touch and go. We don't know if she's going to live. A few weeks after that, my youngest daughter, Carissa, would go in that year for would be one of four surgeries on her face. It seemed like one thing after another thing after another thing. That's all the medical. I'm not even telling you all the personal, all the professional, all the financial, all the relational. I'm not even bringing any of that into it. I'm in California. Before I lived there, I'm in California. I'm in a hotel room, and I just have this surge of faith. I'm going to break this storm right now. And I had a guy. His name is Micah. He was traveling with me, and I remember it was like 6 in the morning, and I got so mad. I decided, you know what? This is not a season where I pray quietly. This is not a season where I'm silent. This is a season where I get loud, I get vocal, and I get violent. And I begin to pray, devil, you let go of my family, and I break this storm now, and I break the lives of the enemy. And I'm telling you, it all, boom, broke right there. It seemed like that week, everything came back into alignment. Pow, just like that. You want to know why? Because that's a storm you can rebuke. You need to do that today. And then there were storms. There's storms we're in right now. It's not stealing our joy. It's not stealing our peace. And I got authority to walk all over it. You can thunder. You can use all the lightning you want. You can throw all the water and the wind at our face. But at the same time, we still have a course. We're going for the storm. I'm going to walk where he told me to walk. I know what the middle is like. And I know I keep answering this invitation on the daily. And I promise you, God's going to bring it to finalize realization and breakthrough and promise. I know there are people in this room. You've got storms. You say, Pastor Chris, you're speaking right to me. It's not even sin. It's just challenges. It's not even opposition. It's personal growth, but you're in a storm. I believe it's time that we stood with you in faith. If you want prayer over your storms, we want to pray with you. We want to ask you to come. If you have never given your life to Jesus and you want to make that decision today, I'm going to ask you to come right here to this side right now. But it's time. Answer the invitation. Don't wait for somebody else. I believe right now is the moment where everything shifts. Everything changes. I feel faith building in the room right now. I feel it. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to come down. I feel the presence of God. It's time you answer the invitation. All that stuff's going to be broken. All those lives that you affect are going to be completely transformed. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or it's time for you to deal with some storms, I want you to get out of your chair. Meet me at the front. Come on, meet me at the front. 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 Jesus. 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 I feel such significance in the room. I feel it. I feel it. I feel moments. I feel moments turning into movements right now.
I feel destiny stirring in this room. You know, I'm going to ask my wife to come over. I love watching the way God uses her, and I know that she has a few words for people in this room. I'm going to let her share those.
Jesus is in this place, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I believe what he was saying earlier, that today is the day for your touch, for your freedom. And I just believe right now, if you are believing for a supernatural healing, I just heard the Lord say, like, reach out, touch my garment right now, and you will receive it. I want you right now, if you need healing in your body, I want you to touch that area. I saw ankles getting healed. I saw leukemia. I don't know what is your issue is, but I want you to touch it right now. And it's not us. You don't need a man. The Spirit of living God is here. And I believe right now, supernaturally, he is coming in power. He is coming and bringing order right now. And I declare it right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel heat coming all through your hands to your body. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you right now. My husband right now, touch on your eyes in the name of Jesus. I'm just believing for that, even for him. Come on, there is nothing our God can't do. There is nothing we can't believe for. If you will reach out, you will pull what he has, and we don't have to beg. Hallelujah. We are not beggars. We are commanders. Amen. So, Father, I thank you. Just command every storm, every disorder in the body right now to line up with heaven. I thank you, Father, for a supernatural healing and touch right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Wife back there, were you sitting there with your wife? Can I ask you to come up real quick? You have the beautiful long hair. Yeah, you come up. As you come up, I just felt like the Lord was just saying to both of you that there is a leadership gifting in you. There is a strong calling, and I feel like there's been some distractions, and I just believe that the Lord's removing every distraction, every hindrance, even in your mind. That you're not leaders. Anything that's been disqualifying you, the Lord is removing and saying, I have called you and I have chosen you. Even from the beginning, even from when you were born, there was a plan and purpose in your life. And whatever the enemy has been lying to you, right now those lies are being shut. And in the name of Jesus, I call you forth into your destiny. Both of you are powerful, strong house, like powerful couple, dynamic duo. Is what I keep feeling and sensing. And the Lord's moving you from obscurity into his heart, into his presence, into his place, into the palace almost, if you will. But Father, I thank you right now for this couple. Father, I thank you, whatever's been, Lord, just the hindrances are broken right now. I thank you the lies are broken right now. Clarity that they are teachers, that they are preachers, that they are, Lord, ones that are called for such a time as this. You've been called into this house for such a time. Father, I thank you that there's divine alignments in this building and in this place on this couple. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I see the same anointing as even Pastor Mindy and Pastor, it's Cody. And I thank you, Father, just the same. Where is Pastor Mindy? I don't see her. She's praying. But Father, I thank you for a fire, the dynamic duo, Father. There's an increase coming into your house and into your ministry and into your family. Your children will carry the same authority and fire. And I thank you that they're children's children's children. I see eight generations of ministers in your seed and in your line. Father, I thank you that every limitation, even on them, Lord, the dreams are coming alive. They are going to scare you, but Father, I thank you. You're a dreamer. Both of you are dreamers and visionaries. Father, I thank you for increase in that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. There's a lady right here in the beautiful white. Can you just lift your hand up? Is this your friend or husband? No, you don't know him. Okay. Yes, you. Good. Just wanted to make sure. Never want to just, you know. Okay. Okay. Can you guys hold hands? I'm going to pray over you. What is your name? Stacy and Mark. Father, I thank you for Stacy and Mark. Stacy, God's given you, put you around people of influence, and he's just reminding you that it's like sometimes you feel like God's passed you by, but the Lord's saying you are an influencer. Father, I thank you, even when she's kind of discounted some of her personality or just the way she thinks or sees things, the Lord says you are a rare one. And the Lord says, don't be afraid of that. I've put that giftedness on you. And I just unlock and unleash the clarity and focus on the Lord's plans and purposes and what he has, you're not going to be walking toward them. There's a run. There's a charging spirit. He says, I'm speaking over you today to give you not confidence from the world, but my spirit is confirming everything, the dream, the God-sized dreams in you. He says, that's from me. And he's saying, run, daughter, run, for I am with you. Father, thank you. And Mark, you're not just a shadow in her in her walk. The Lord says, you are my mighty one. I have my hand on you. I have chosen you. And there is a gift of influence on your life. I just even see 5 years from now, people are going to look at what you're doing and the life that you're leading, and they're not even going to recognize who you are because of the whispers that God is saying in you, in your ear, in your heart right now. They're begin to be seen and roaring in 5 years. You're going to be leading and a movement. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. There's bigger dreams, Father, that God's dusting off those dreams in you, Mark, and he's going to make you a dreamer and a new, I see a new accountability around you that you're going to hold others to. And Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this couple. Use them and their children will be mighty on the earth. Father, I thank you for who they are in Jesus' name. Gentlemen in the red and black, can you raise your hands at me? What is your name? Scott. Scott, I just really sense that the Lord brought you here even today for a specific purpose. I don't know if you were going to miss today or what was going to happen, but I just feel like even the same anointing that my husband walks in, the Lord's given you a gift of communication and just a gift almost like you've wanted to hide and be scared of it, but the Lord's like called you here for such a time and just for a purpose to call you in to the destiny. There's been attacks, there's been pulling. It's almost like I've seen the enemy try to drag your leg and pull you back because there's such a call, such a destiny on your life. And the Lord is unlocking his heart toward you, his love. He has not forgotten you. He has never thought little of you. But the Lord is bringing in his love into an alignment with your heart. There's a collision with heaven right now in your heart. And Father, I thank you for the destiny on his life. I thank you that, Lord, you haven't forgotten him. And I thank you that the people that even seem like they've kind of like been nagging at you for Jesus, it's like it's because the Lord has such a plan and such a purpose. And there's a man of destiny in you. And you are a man of fire, like a man of power. And Father, I thank you for his life. And I thank you for people around him. I thank you for godly men that love him. And I thank you, Father, that he won't have to be afraid of where you're taking him because your Father, the Father is with you. Father, I thank you for who he is in Jesus' name.
Wow. I just, if you've got storms, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Look at all these hands. Father, take those hands, put them in your heart, Father. I want to pray for those who need to rebuke storms. The truth is, I cannot rebuke your storm for you. You have to rebuke your own storm. And so, Father, right now, collectively, come on, let's pray together. I tell these storms, you must stop. We rebuke you. We tear you down. That those cycles, those patterns, those old seasons, we break it right now. Those addictions, those lies, we tear it down right now in Jesus' name. I pray for a renewing of the mind. I pray for a refreshing of the spirit. I pray for a new perspective. I pray for an outpouring to come on you. More now in Jesus' name. It is broken. It is done. That you would take authority and no longer be suffering under those unwelcome patterns. I release the goodness of God on your life. Father, I pray for those of us with storms that we've not lost our joy and we have not lost our peace and we have not lost our faith and we have not lost our focus, that you would establish it right now in your people, that you would cause a favor and a faithfulness, that there would be stability and strength in every way. No longer will you be tossed by winds and waves. You won't be moved by opinions and reports. You won't be altered in your mood or in your positioning because you know I deserve the middle. I am built for the middle. The middle is where I'm forged. The middle is where I'm fashioned. The middle is where I'm molded. And I will not miss my moment. I release your people to being built to do the impossible. I declare you will live the impossible. Lord, I pray for my friends here who have never given their life to Jesus, making that decision today. I want everyone to repeat after me. I want you to say it now. I want to tell those who came down here to give their life to Jesus, I want to say it to you like this, that God, there's nothing magical about the words, it's the meaning. That if the Bible says when you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, then you'll be saved and not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that's for you. So, church, come on, can we pray with some strength together with those making a decision today? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me for sinning against you. I believe that you died for me, that you rose again, and you're alive today. I thank you that I am born for the impossible, and show me how to live that every day of my life, because it's yours. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now listen, I still feel the presence of God here. I just... What is your guys' names? You're obviously married. If not, we've got to talk. But, sorry? Shan, did you have something? No, you go.
Okay. Definitely just affirming. It's always just the Lord. It's always Him affirming who He's already speaking to you in private. But there is just such a gift of a father and a mother in you. There's such a gift of a leadership anointing. Just so many dynamic duos I'm seeing everywhere. You guys, the same thing. But it's like there's power in your unity. That's why there's sometimes struggle. That's why the enemy tries to. There's power in unity and in love and the way you forgive. There is an example and a mark. You're a marker for many people. Like when people encounter both of you, it's marked their life. And there's just an encounter for heaven on earth when you guys step into the room and everywhere you go, even your family. And I just release all of the giftings of God, the teaching giftings, the counsel, the gift of wisdom and counsel, the preaching, the gifts that God has stored. And almost like you're like, should I or should I not? The Lord's like removing every hesitancy in Jesus' name today. And there is a power that the Lord's going to release in both of you.
I just want to add to that, because that's totally, yeah. I really feel like what I'm seeing is I'm trying to put this in the language. I can pray in tongues. What I'm starting to see is the tension of destiny. It's like who you are now will not be who you are in 6 months. And I feel like in your heart and in your head, you're already 6 months ahead. But then the current realities of where you really are at are kind of speaking a little bit louder. And I feel like what God, like she's saying, the unity between you two, I feel like the enemy's so intimidated by that. Just for the sake of marriage, I feel like he's intimidated by that. But I feel like destiny is requesting for you to change. And the way you're going to change is going to be unlike any season you've been through. But I do believe it requires a humility and a teachability. And I believe you're in this church for a reason. I honestly believe that you can find it other places, but you will not get it like you would here. And I believe that it's a good, wise you're here. But I also believe God is trying to establish something fresh. And I believe that you've been a part of a lot. I see you working in different rooms. I see like you're in this room, to that room, to this one, to that one. But you're multifaceted. But God says, I'm taking all that and putting a single focus to it. And I see like God establishing a fresh direction here. I believe in the beginning of 2020, I believe God's going to give you the dream. He's going to give you the language. And you're supposed to submit it to your leadership in your life and let them help build with you. And God says, it comes with a warning, stay teachable. Because the destiny I'm calling you to will require you to lean in so strong that you must be severely spirit-led in every way. Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you for destiny, the request that would never leave us the same way. I release the goodness of God in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want to pray, but I'm supposed to take up an offering. I'm just going to go ahead and do it to save time. You know, when you give today to what we're doing, you're giving to a family of people, not just mine, but you're giving to a family that has really sacrificed everything to go forward. I'm reminded in a way to remind you the Macedonians. The Macedonians that Paul said, it says they gave according to their ability and beyond their ability. And I believe there's two ways really to give. You can give according to your ability and you will be called, and that's faithful, that's great. But there's times where God says, I need you to give beyond their ability. I need you to give. Now, I'm not talking about checks in faith and doing things unwise. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know that margin is there and God's saying, give me that. And I believe that the giving of the church should match heaven. The generosity of the church should match the generosity. God gave his only, which means he gave it all. His only son. He gave everything. I truly believe that. Alexander the Great was walking through one of his conquered territories, and he was known to give out gold coins until one of his generals said, you know, if you give out these gold coins, it's a little too much, a little elaborate. You should just give out copper coins. You know what he said? Alexander the Great is recorded in saying this, that the copper coin would recognize, it would actually symbolize the beggar's begging. But the gold coin recognizes, it symbolizes Alexander's giving. In other words, it is more for Alexander to give gold than to give copper. There's a way to give to your ability and then beyond your ability. And I just wonder if God could move on your heart to give beyond your ability today. That you're not filling someone's pockets. You're mobilizing a family to take nations. As my kids are paying a sacrifice, as our marriage is paying a sacrifice, as we're on every plane, we're in every hotel. These are not vacations we're going to. These are not resorts that we're staying in many times. These are palaces. We'll go from the palace to the impoverished like that. We'll be in boardrooms and crack houses all in the same day. And I'm here to tell you, as you begin to finance and fund, I want to ask you, perhaps maybe you could transition this moment from according to your ability to beyond your ability. Because I believe what God would do for you is the exact same thing in your hour of need. And we as the church, we don't just respond to need, we respond to faith. That God sees need all over the place, but he really responds to faith. And obviously in the video and everything you're hearing, this is not built because we have great strategy and playbooks. This is built because we said yes to a vision. And our problem is not provision, it's always vision. Is there enough vision? Is there enough foresight? I want to ask you when you give today that you would give beyond your ability today and watch not only what God does in the ministry you're sowing into the family that you're sowing into, but watch what God does in you, in your giving and returning it back to you. I know you're in the middle of a big series about that. It's time that we start being the church that gives beyond, that gives with like impossible, where the IRS is coming in, not looking for the receipts. They're understanding, how do you make this much, but you're able to give away this much? It's time to shock the world. It's time for the Queen of Sheba to faint at the generosity and the blessing on the kingdom of God. It's time for the world to faint in the hour where God is trying to move in ways of generosity. It's the greatest military move we could ever make, is generosity. Father, I thank you for every giver. I release your blessing on this. I thank you that you're moving people from their ability to beyond their ability, that we would give like the Macedonians who were the poor of the poor, yet not only supplied Paul's trip in front of the trip, but they even sent a second offering ahead for him to collect at the end of his journey so that he'd be taken care of. God, I pray like that, that we as the global church would know that we are generous in this way. Thank you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Listen, if you want prayer, we're going to be down here. I was going to tell you about my books and my curriculum, but it's already late and I'm hungry and I want to pray for some people. All right, I love you guys. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Wow, huh? Praise the Lord. The offering plates are going to be in the back. They're holding them right in the back right there. Please don't go until you sow. Say that with me. Don't go until you sow. You should have something in your spirit. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. No matter how much it is, obey God and you'll always be blessed. Make sure you don't go until you sow. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is there.